Good morning, church. Today's reading is John 10, 1 through 10. Starts off, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger's voice they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated, church. Thank you, Garrett. Thank you, Darby. Garrett and Darby have joined our church a couple months ago. I met Garrett at the football field. He's one of our coaches at Stewart's Creek High School. And God just really ordained that conversation. We started hanging out. We started talking. And before you know it, I slid the, hey, why don't you join me at church sometime? And he did. And he and his wife have been with us for quite some time. And we're so glad that you guys are here. Thank you all for reading our scripture this morning. And God's just doing some amazing things at the creek right now. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so honored to be here to preach this morning. I will be in John 10, like Garrett read this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. John 10, if you have something to take notes on, I invite you to do that as well, as we've got a lot to cover this week, as we are still in our series called He Is. I love this series that we're going through right now. We're going through the seven I am statements of Jesus. And today we are talking about the third one. RC led us through the bread of life. Last week we talked about Jesus being the light of the world. And today we are going to be talking about Jesus being the door, calling himself the door, and what that looks like and how that relates to us. In 2007, my wife and I had the opportunity to go on an amazing trip. It was really a God thing. The band that she's in, the manager got a call, and they had been invited to go to another country on the other side of the world. And so we were excited about this, a little nervous. We had just had Lily, but we knew that God was calling us to go there. And so we packed our bags. And the interesting thing about this country was there was only one way in. There wasn't any roads that you could take cars to get in there. There wasn't any trains going in to the country. It was by plane only. And so we made the 15-hour journey across the country, across the world, excuse me. And when we got there, we found out it was not like Atlanta where we were coming from. It was absolutely nothing like this because we had landed in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea. It was nothing like the United States at all. And Casting Crowns had been invited to go in and lead worship, not lead worship, but perform in front of the Korean folks there for a festival that they had. And this was one of those things that the only way they could have gotten in was an invitation. And there was only one way into the country, and it was through airplane. And so when God took us there, he just did so many amazing things. And the interesting part was how we got there. The invitation of going in and the who allowed us to get there. It was the government allowed us to be a part of that. And I'll tell you, I can talk to you more about that later on offline. But I mean, just the fact that we got there in the invitation was just amazing. And so as we dive into our text this morning, as we see what Jesus refers to himself as the door, that really links a lot of how we can get to salvation, who invites us in to come to salvation. And that's what we're going to look at today, especially as we see this. Some of your versions might say gate. Some of your versions might say gate. Today we're going to use the door, and the reason we're going to use the door is two things. One is translated into the door from the Greek, and two, that's what the ESV says. And so that's what we're going to call it. We're going to say the door. And so Jesus is making some pretty bold statements about himself. If we go through the seven I am statements of Christ, what he says, I mean, he is saying he's not just bread, he is the bread, the only bread of life. He's not calling himself a light. He's not a light. He's saying he is the light, the only light. And when we get to this portion, it's very, very interesting. When we read God's word, we have to really dive in and see why Jesus said the things that he said and why he said it the way he said it. He calls himself the door. He's the only door. And when we look at this, doors are significant in Scripture. When we go back to the Old Testament, we see in Genesis that God made a door to the ark that he shut. I mean, we don't want to skip past that after Noah made this massive ship, there was a door placed on it that Noah didn't know how it was going to close, but God shut the door. We see in Exodus that the Israelites, that it was important for them to place the blood of the of lambs on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over them. Doors were important. We see in 1 Kings, and we see throughout the Old Testament, when the building of the tabernacle, you see that there are doors that you could go into, and there was a door to go into the Holy of Holies, a door to enter into God's presence. So we see doors throughout the Old Testament. We see doors throughout Scripture. And as we dive in today to our text, I want to look at two attributes of what Jesus says and what he's saying as he being the door. So if you are taking notes, I want you to write this down. Attribute number one, Jesus is the only door to salvation. Jesus is the only door to salvation. Let's look back at verses 7 and 8 for a moment. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Now, I want to put our text in context. If you look back in chapter 9, we see this interaction that Jesus has with a blind man who was blind from birth. Jesus heals him, and the Pharisees did not like that. The Pharisees catch wind of that. They bring the blind man in twice, question him, dive in to see all the ins and outs, and he's like, "Do you know this guy? Do you know anything about this guy?" And I love the blind man's response. He says, "All I know, that I was blind, and now I can see." Powerful. Just in that one sentence, so powerful. And this angered the Pharisees. They did not like what this man was saying, because this claim that Jesus was making was that he is. He is. Because he said, "I'm the light of the world." That's where we were talking about last week. And so when we get to this moment in chapter 10, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." So he's talking to the people, he's talking to the crowd, and this is in the same vein, the same moment, the same thing that's happening. There are all the same people around, and the Pharisees are hearing this because they're hearing what Jesus is saying, and Jesus is kind of, he's talking to the crowd, but he's also talking to the Pharisees. He's making sure they can hear what he's saying, and he's saying, "Hey, I'm telling you, you need to listen up. Truly, truly, I tell you. I say to you," not that Jesus would ever lie or be deceptive. He's saying, "You need to lean in on what I'm about to say. You need to listen closely." And so he makes this claim in chapter 10. He makes a claim that he's actually two things. He's a shepherd and the door. Now, Jesus, being God, he can be both. He can do whatever he wants. He's Jesus. So he can be both the door and the shepherd. And to save RC some preaching, I'm going to give him next week being the shepherd. So I'm just going to talk about the door today. So I'm going to give him the shepherd next week as Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. But Jesus starts talking about the sheep and the sheepfold. And as we dive through this this first part of our chapter here, he talks about being a good shepherd and he talks about the sheepfold. Now, during that time, there would be two different types of sheepfolds or pens that the sheep would be put into. So if you're taking notes, there's a private pen and there's a public pen, okay? So let's think about the private pen for just a moment. The sheep would go and they would follow the shepherd. And they would, if they were out in the wilderness, the shepherd would either have a pen that would be already built out in the wilderness or in the fields. Or most likely, most of the time, they would take a cave and they would go in, make sure the cave is clean and make sure the cave doesn't have any thieves, robbers, wolves, or anything in it. They'd go in and they would lead the sheep in and they would hold the sheep into the rock hillside or the cave. And that's where the sheep would stay in that private sheepfold. But also there was a public sheepfold. Now, this would be kind of on the outskirts of town or maybe inside town where the shepherds would bring their sheep and they would put them all into a massive pen. They would put them in a massive sheepfold and the shepherd would lead them in with all types of different sheep, all types of different sheep owners. They had different shepherds, but the sheep would go in to this communal pen. Now, there's one way, especially in the public sheepfold, that they would go into, and I don't want to miss this because when I was studying this, I was looking at this. Sometimes you can, you know, when you're reading scripture, especially when you've read it numerous times, you can kind of skip past things. I get in the habit of that sometimes, but we don't want to skip past verse 3. Look at verse 3 for a second. To him, the gatekeeper opens. To him, the gatekeeper opens. Let's think about that for a moment. Not all the time do we take scripture as allegorical. We don't do that all the time in God's word, in the Bible. Like there are hidden meanings to the different characters or the different people or the different things that we see in the Bible. Not all the time. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have that. Some others we don't. But I think it's very interesting in this. And Jesus talks about the gatekeeper. Or the doorkeeper, as we're kind of keeping in line with what we're saying. This person would know the shepherd, and he would allow the shepherd's sheep to go into the pen or the sheepfold, this public sheepfold. And I don't think, if I was looking at this imagery or this metaphor, I don't think it's necessarily random that Jesus would say this or that John would write it down that we would see this. Jesus has given this illustration to the people and to the Pharisees too, that he could take the position of the shepherd. He could also take the position of the door. God can take the position of the gatekeeper or the doorkeeper. Some theologians think it's God. Some people think it's Jesus talking about himself as well. Some people think it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm just going to say, I think it's God, the Trinity. It'll be any part of that, but when I think about this, when we see John 6:44, check this. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Holy Spirit draws and invites you to go through the door to join Jesus' sheepfold. The Father draws through the Spirit those to whom he offers salvation through the Son. Let me say that one more time. The Father draws through the Spirit those to who he offers salvation through the Son. The Spirit draws. People respond. The Spirit being the doorkeeper. The people respond because the shepherd brings them. How awesome is that? This is incredible what Jesus is saying. So we think about the public sheep pen, the public sheepfold. Let's go back to the private one for just a moment. It would just be him in the flock at night. They would be out in the fields. They would have been grazing all day. The shepherd would have led them by waters. And then it was time to put the sheep in the pen to protect the sheep. And now this shepherd would play a couple of different roles. He would be the shepherd to lead them to green pastures and still waters. But he would also play the part of protector. Protector. Because during these times, not only would there be wildlife trying to get to the sheep, that not only would there be animals trying to attack and to drag the sheep off for dinner, there would also be thieves and robbers that would come in to try to steal the sheep, not only from the public sheepfold, but also the private sheepfold as well. In the public, we'll talk about this in a moment, but in the public sheepfold, they would dress like the shepherd. They would try to dress like the shepherd and go in and try to deceive the sheep. Sometimes sheep, they're pretty, honestly, the main description of sheep is stupid. Really, I mean, it really is. It's funny that most of the time we're connected with sheep in the Bible. So, but sheep knew the shepherd's voice. Sheep knew the shepherd's voice. Again, I don't want to get too far into it. RC might take it from me next week, so I'll leave it there. But when I think about this, he was protecting them from the thieves and robbers who might come in to the private sheepfold to steal, to kill the sheep, to have food for themselves, or to add those sheep to their flock. And so this shepherd would watch those who would try to sneak in to the sheepfold. He would protect those. But yet there was only one way in, and it was through the door. Thieves and robbers would try to get in other ways. They'd try to climb in through the side, or they would try to go in if there was a pen with a fence. They were trying to climb over and steal. But in this sheepfold, there was one way in and one way out. It was through the door. And the shepherd would do anything to take care of his sheep. So once they're led into the sheepfold or the cave or the pen, the shepherd would literally lay across the door opening. He would literally lay down so that anything that tried to enter would have to go through him, and anything that tried to exit would have to go through him. He was the door. He is the door. The sheep would be safe and saved because the shepherd became the door. That's where Jesus drops this word bomb here. He says, I am the door to the sheep. Jesus is the only door to salvation. We are the sheep. Jesus is the door. And false teachers would say, do this or do that. That's what the Pharisees are hearing. That's what they're saying. You got to add all of these things to your salvation to be saved. You have to do this list of over 600 rules to enter and have salvation and spend eternity in heaven. You have to do all these things, these false lies, these teachers. You have to pray these prayers or pay this penance. Matthew Henry said this, Christ is not only the Savior, but he is salvation itself. I love what Luke tells us, what Peter said in Acts 4. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We know of this, we call this the exclusivity of Christ. The exclusivity of Christ, that he is the only way to salvation. He is the only door to salvation. He is the only way to the Father. It is truly grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's it. And this offends so many people. It really does. You see it online, you see it in the news, you see it on social media, that Jesus is the only way. This offends so many people to say that Jesus is the only way to have eternity in heaven with the Father. It's like we have to add something to it. It can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. And we talk about this in church a lot. I get it. We talk about salvation a lot in church, and for those believers who've been believers for a long time, it's like, oh, we hear this again. Oh, there's just another time to hear this. But I don't think we can hear this enough. We must preach the gospel to ourselves daily, because there are thieves and robbers coming after your mind. They're coming after your heart. They're trying to pull you away to steal and to kill and destroy, starting with you, and then your family, and then your surroundings. They're crafty. They're smart. I mean, if you think about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and other cults, they make false claims about the Bible. They say that the Bible isn't the full inspired word of God. We have to add something to it. There's more to it than just this. Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. Influencers online. You're scrolling, you see someone, and they'll just use just enough scripture to sound really good. And the rest of it is false. And when we think about the world, will tell us to work harder. Do everything you can for the almighty dollar to get this American dream. You know, buy things with money you don't have. These things that you don't really like to impress people you don't want to hang out with. I mean, one door or one of the ways people get mad is they say all doors lead to heaven. All doors lead to heaven. Whether you're a Muslim or you're a Buddhist or you're a nun, you can look that up later. N-O-N-E, not N-U-N. So all doors lead to heaven. If you're just a good person, you'll make it in. I've heard that. If I just do enough good things, or I've never killed anybody, or I've never cheated on my wife, I'm in. All these are thieves that want to destroy you. They're liars. And Jesus' sheep do not listen to the voice of thieves. Jesus' sheep do not listen to the voice of robbers. They listen to the shepherd because they have gone through the door of salvation, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. If you look around this room, you'll see a couple of doors, some up here, some back there. On your way out, you'll go through, this door has a little metal on it, that door's wooden, you'll go through a glass door on the way to your car, you open your car door, it's metal. You know what's interesting about all the doors that you are going to walk through today, that every door you walk through has no life. It's just material. It's wood, it's metal, it's glass. You know what this door is? Jesus didn't say, I'm the door, I'm gonna put a sheet of plywood or I'm gonna put a gate right in front of you. No, he's the living door. He's alive. He offers us life through him. That should get us excited that this door is not dead, he's alive. And he offers us life. And that, when we think about this, he is the door to salvation. And if you've walked through that door, that should excite you. That should be a reminder to the salvation that he's brought to you. If you have not walked through that door, you need to. I'm just going to say you need to. God is so good and he has a massive plan and he wants to be your shepherd. He wants you to go through the door. So we see the first attribute. And Jesus is the only door to salvation. I see another thing in here. Attribute number two, that Jesus is the only door to freedom. That Jesus is the only door to freedom. Now let's look back at verse 9 for a moment, 9 and 10. Jesus says again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What an incredible encouragement Jesus gives us here. This is huge. If anyone enters by him, he will be saved. And not only will he find salvation through him, they'll have the freedom to go in and out through the door to find pasture. This is very interesting. This in and out language would not be new to the people that are hearing this. The Jews would have heard this before in their Old Testament studies. They'd hear this multiple times, like Psalm 23. You might have heard this before. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Ezekiel 34:31 says this, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord. God. I mean, this is not new language, this in and out language. He shows us the way to be with him through the work that he has done. And there's nothing a sheep needs to do but go in and out and follow the shepherd. The shepherd leads. The shepherd leads. R.C. will probably talk more about that next week. But here, it wasn't that the sheep would be driven. The sheep are led by the shepherd. We're not meant to stay in the sheepfold. That's a pretty interesting fact about this. We're not meant to stay in. The shepherd is going to lead us into green pastures. He's going to lead us to still waters because he knows if he doesn't lead us, we'll fall away. We will go after grass that we think is green, but it's really poison. We'll go after waters that we think are clean, but they're polluted. We are led. Remember, why is Jesus talking about sheep and the shepherd and a door and pens and thieves? Because the religious leaders were trying to come and steal the thoughts of the people. They're trying to deceive them. I mean, they were convinced that all these rules and regulations had set them up to salvation. It's as though, like we were talking about earlier, that the Pharisees were just mixing just a little truth with a bunch of lies. Just a little visual. Oh, that's good water. This is good water. Come over here, drink this, and it's polluted. This grass is green on this side. But it's really weeds. It leads ultimately to death. I was reminded, I was thinking about this, of how the Eskimos used to hunt wolves. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if you knew this. They would take a knife and sharpen it really sharp. They would just as sharp as they could get it. You know, guys, so sharp you could skin the hair off your arm. You know what I'm talking about, that sharp, all right? All the dudes, you're like, oh, yeah. If you don't know how to do that, I'll teach you after church tonight. All right, so what they would do is they would take their knives and they would dip it in blood. And they would pull it out and they would let it freeze. And they would dip it in blood again. They'd pull it out and let it freeze again. And they'd have this thick layer of blood on this knife, this sharp, sharp knife. And so it would be very thick, frozen blood. And they would take it and they would bury the handle down in the ground where just the knife part was exposed above the ground. And they would let it sit. And the scent of this blood would go out throughout the hillside, and wolves would come up to it, and they would see this blood on this knife, and they'd start licking the blood off the knife. And they would lick the blood over and over and over, and all their body heat would melt that knife, or sorry, melt the blood off the knife to the point where their tongues would be cut by the knife. And they would just keep on licking because now the blood that was frozen is now warm, not knowing that it was their blood that they were ingesting. They were killing themselves after falling after something that was false. That's exactly how the enemy takes us away. It looks so good, so tempting, so awesome. And that's what the thieves do. The thieves come in and say, this will make you feel good. This will protect you. This will give you life. But it leads to death. It's deception. But that's not what Jesus offers us. That's not what Christ offers us of being the door. He offers us life, real life, true life. Look at Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good work that you may do his will, working in us, which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus didn't promise us an easy life. This life was not promised to be easy, yes, yet he had promised us an abundant life, that he will be with us, he will lead us, life full of him. The thieves lead to death, Jesus leads to life. And how do we live this abundant life now? By fully abiding in Jesus. By fully abiding in Jesus. Oswald Chambers says this, there is no condition of life in which we cannot abide in Jesus. We have to learn to abide in him wherever we are placed. We must abide in him. We abide in him by knowing the shepherd's voice. We abide in him by knowing the shepherd's voice. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God. I really haven't. I haven't. But I've read his words here. And I've read it out loud. Maybe that's his voice. Sounds like a redneck from Georgia. I don't know. I've never heard, but I see his words and I allow his words to permeate my heart. We abide in him by surrounding ourselves with like-minded sheep who know the shepherd as well. We abide in him by following him wherever he leads and wherever he sends us. Make no mistake about this story. This is not about the sheep. We could make this and we could turn this and say, well, God gives us the abundant life. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be rich if you'll just follow him. He'll make everything, all your dreams come true. Everything will be so good. You know what this makes the story about? In that case, the sheep. This story has nothing, well, it has to do with the sheep, but it's all about the door. It's all about the shepherd. It's all about Jesus. And when we get the main character of this story right, wouldn't we want to do everything we can so that others might meet him? If you've walked through that door, you see how abundant this life in Christ can be. Don't we want to share that with everyone? But too many times we get distracted. Too many times we'll just stay close. Oh, we'll go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and we'll go to Bible studies, but I won't talk about them at work. I won't share them out in the world. I won't put my sign in my yard. You can go get one of Stacy's. She's got four of them. I mean, just listen. When we abide in Christ, we have freedom. We have freedom through him. I mean, so many people resist the call of the Holy Spirit because honestly, they want to control their own lives. They want to do their own thing. They want to act their own way. I want to have the freedom. I don't want to relinquish freedom to anyone else. But when we abide in Christ, we understand that that is sin, that is selfishness, and we are going to follow the Savior. We're going to follow the Good Shepherd. We don't need to wander off into fields any longer. They aren't full of life. Think about the liberty that we get. Think about the freedom that we get. We have a relationship with the shepherd. We have protection from thieves and robbers. We have the freedom from sin. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Charles Stanley is quoted as saying, "Obey God and leave all the consequences up to him." And think about this. What is the downside in following the Good Shepherd? Going through the door, what is the downside in this? You might lose some friends. Okay. You have Christ. People might forget you or not want to hang out with you. Listen, in 50 years, they're going to forget you anyway. I mean, there's no downside in following Christ. And this freedom that God gives us through the door is amazing. And it gives us abundant life in Christ. When I was thinking about that story to North Korea, we had been there several days, I think probably 5-6 days. And the band would do two or three concerts a day at different venues, like 50-minute sets. And they would sing some of their songs. And then they would sing a few other songs and they would sing a couple of hymns. And at the end of each set, they got up on stage, just the lead singer and the guitarist, and they would sing Amazing Grace every single time. And it was the last one, and I was sitting side stage, I was sitting on this side of the stage, and I was watching what was happening, and I was kind of watching backstage, and I could see some of the crowd, and I was just praying. I was just asking the Lord that God would permeate the hearts of the people that are hearing these words. And one of our translators came and sat down next to me, which we had talked throughout the trip. And he sat down next to me and said, "Mr. Ryan, I need you to do me a favor." I'm like, "Oh, okay, what you need?" He said, "My wife has been playing this song on the piano in our home since we got married, but I've never known the lyrics to it. Would you write them down for me?" And through tears in my eyes, I grabbed the sheet of paper and wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." When you go through the door of salvation, it changes every conversation. It changes everything about your life. It brings hope and grace and peace because you were once blind, but now you can see. And if you've gone through that door and you're listening to the lies of the other thieves and robbers, you don't have to anymore. Man, let us walk with you. Let us talk with you. Let us pray for you. Maybe you're walking with the good shepherd. Stay with him. Stay with him. Stay in the word. Keep following him. Maybe you've never gone through the door. Today could be the day. Today could be the day of salvation where the Holy Spirit has talked to you through the message, through this word, and you need to receive salvation today. You can be saved. You can. Come talk to us. Let us walk with you through that. We don't want anyone to walk through these dead doors past the living door today. God has called us to follow him. Let's share that out this week. Let's lean in to the good shepherd. Let's go through the door. Let's stay with him. God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it speaks to us and how it is true, it's living, it's active. God, you have a plan for our lives. Thank you for being the door to salvation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. May we not forget that. Those of us who know you, may we not forget that. Those of us who do not know you, God, may we go through that door today. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning,